While Mary and Joseph were in Bethlehem, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and placed him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared before them, and the glory of the Lord showed around them, and they were terrified. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." This morning we light the second candle of Advent. This is the candle of peace. At the arrival of Jesus, the angels proclaimed peace on earth. Let us, as a forgiven and redeemed people, rejoice in the peace that we have received in our own hearts through Jesus Christ.
Let's stand and sing. Yes. Kids, it's time to go to children's church. Are y'all ready?
We will wait. Good group of kiddos this morning. Yeah. Well, good morning, church. Good morning, online church. If you want to register your attendance with us today, that would be helpful. Just wanted to remind parents who have signed up their children for a Christmas workshop, the gifts that are going to be made at home, you can pick those up today. Between 2 and 4, and you might be able to grab those right after church if you connect with Carlene or Teresa. And then the rest of the week from Monday through Thursday, those can be picked up between 8:30 and 5. So come by the church. And I know there's a drop-off day, I think, Wednesday and Thursday, and people have signed up for the drop-off. So had a good response, 160-plus kids, I think, which is awesome, which is good. Make note of that. Also, our trip to the Operation Christmas Child Processing Center is next Saturday. I don't know if Naomi's here this morning. No. But you can contact her at Naomi Wood, at WileyMethodist.org if you want to participate in that. That's always a great opportunity to serve. So as we pray this morning, there's just a lot of stuff going on with a lot of people. We have COVID issues, but there's so many other things going on. I don't know. It just seemed like the enemy's, I don't know if he's rearing his ugly head or what, but just a couple things. And also there's some prayer needs in our digital bulletin. If you want to connect with the prayer needs that way, Christy Callahan lost her father recently. Krista Bunger has a cancer diagnosis that's not very favorable. Bob Sharp is in ICU at Hendrick South on the ventilator from COVID and double pneumonia. Kyle Grigsby's in the hospital with the same. I don't think he's on a ventilator. Ken Keefe's recovering at home from COVID, and there's just a number of people that have dealt with that. My little 86-year-old mama, her body's just tired. And she's had some lung issues for 3 or 4 months, and she was placed on a ventilator Friday, and it looked like that prognosis for her coming off that ventilator was not very good. And so after consulting her physician and looking at her last end-of-life desires, we're going to take her off the ventilator today at 4. But we win. I was telling Marv this morning, oh, death, where's your victory? Where's your sting, right, Marv? So we win today or tomorrow. She's going to be in hospice care. But just so much stuff going on. And my brother, who I love dearly, he's radical. I mean, he is radical. He's a biker. Gave his heart to Jesus in 97, and he just doesn't look like much, but, man, he's a solid man of God. And he read Psalm 121 over my mom actually yesterday. And it's a psalm that my grandmother taught our uncle to memory. He said, memorize this when you go to Korea to fight in that conflict. And he read this over my mom. I want to read this morning and just make a couple comments and we'll pray. Psalm 121, I think this is the Psalm of David. It says, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. And here's a question, where does my help come from? I mean, we can look at that two ways, that God is up there somewhere. He's at a distance and we need help. And so we can look up there for him. Or as I would like to look at this morning, it's like there's these mountains, there's these obstacles in our way. And we're thinking, my goodness, how am I going to get over to the other side? I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, who watches over Israel and us will not slumber nor sleep. God never takes a nap. God never goes to bed. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is as your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forever. Great promises from Scripture. So whatever anybody's going through today, the Lord's good. The Lord's good. And there is help on the other side of the mountain. Help that will get us to where we need to go. So let's pray. Oh, Father, I just lift up these, God, that I mentioned, and gosh, there's so many more, Father, that it just seemed like every day there's three or four prayer requests. We're just inundated with them. And, Father, as we look to the hills, oh, God, as we look to the mountains, asking, God, where are you in the middle of all this? Father, we have a promise that you're there, and our help comes from you. You are the maker of heaven and earth. So, Lord, I pray that you be what you need to be in lives this day. For those who are struggling with the virus, God, would you help them? Would you touch them? Lord, you're keenly aware of what's going on in their lives. Would you move in power for your glory? And Father, for those family members that can't see their loved ones because they're in isolation, Lord, I pray for incredible encouragement for them as well. Lord, would you just bless them? Would you come alongside of them and touch them? Just rub up against them and just let them feel your presence. Let them feel your goodness as they struggle with this separation. And Father, I don't want to camp out on this virus, but it's been so disruptive. So Father, I just pray that you do something supernatural. I thank you for the vaccinations that are coming, the vaccines that are coming. But Lord, I just pray you do something beyond that. Lord, I want to see you get credit for this, not the makers of the vaccine, God. I want to see you get credit for this. I want to see you get the glory for this. So reveal yourself to our culture. Reveal yourself to the world, what you're doing behind the scenes. And Father, we trust you. We trust you, God, as we can gather back together. Lord, protect us in this house from illness, Lord. And for those who are at home, God, I just pray for incredible encouragement for them as they look to you. Lord, you don't know how to be anything other than good. It's not in your nature to be otherwise. So pour out your goodness on us. Pour out your love on us. Pour out your grace on us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we trust you. Oh Lord, as we sing songs about this season and we view nativity sets, and Lord, just help us not to lose focus about how incredible that little one was and continues to be. It's all about Jesus. We thank you for him. We thank you for salvation through him. We thank you that he's coming back someday. We thank you that he holds all things together. Thank you for our Savior. pray this prayer that he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Stand and sing.
He so had been living for me. Well, it is good to have some of you back in the house. Glad that you are here, and also glad that you are worshiping with us at home. We'd love to connect with you, especially if you're our visitor or online or in person here. You can go to our Wiley Methodist app or our website, either one, and you'll find a place to register your attendance with us. And if you are a guest, you can register as a guest. And we would love to know that you are here. If you are in here and you're a guest, I'm going to be out in the foyer after church, after the worship service, and would love to meet you and have a gift for you. As Billy said in the prayer time, just a lot a ball's in the air here. A lot of things going on in our city, and we are trying to react the best we can. I talked to a lot of other pastors, and it's really a day-to-day evaluation as we do everything. But If I'm glad that some of you have felt comfortable to be here, and I'm also want to pray blessings on those that have not yet felt safe to come back, and that's okay. It's okay. No judgment for either way. If you will turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Beginning in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. But Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. And this is, you can find that. That is an Old Testament prophecy that he's quoting here. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, it is good to be together. Even in this place or remotely, it's good to be your people. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and speak now to us. Speak in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm sure, I didn't actually see this on first run, but how many of you remember the original Superman TV series? It was in the 50s, and you can probably still catch some reruns here and there. It's amazing how if you watch the Superman character go through the years, it's like, I think in the 50s, they basically found a pair of kind of blue pajamas and some tights. That was his costume. And now, you know, they got all this molding and the chest, you know, sticks out to here and all this stuff and everything. But it's funny. I've got a picture of the first Superman of the 50s. And, yeah, I'm pretty sure those were pajamas. I'm not positive. But here's what I find interesting about the Superman series. The bad guy can come to Superman and he can start shooting a machine gun at Superman, and he gives that pose right there. He gives her one of these. You know, I should have puffed up, put some plastic stuff under here. Sorry about that. But anyway, everybody lift up here. Okay, here we go. So he throws out his chest and the bullets bounce off of his chest. Nothing can hurt him. And the guy finally runs out of bullets and he throws his gun at him and he ducks. Even Superman's afraid of something. I know that's a stupid story, but anyway, even Superman ducks. He can fend off the bullets. I'm not sure y'all followed that. I mean, he can fend off the bullets, but the gun, he's afraid. Okay, maybe you got it. We're continuing the sermon series, Overcomers, today. And today is overcoming fear. We've talked about fear a lot the last few months. And it's interesting. First of all, Jesus says, don't do it. God's word says, don't do it. God says, don't do it, to not be fearful. So I'm going to jump right into our points as we unpack this scripture today. We overcome fear. Do we have anything that might well up some fear in us going on around us? We overcome fear by realizing that fear is not from God. I want that one to sink in for just a second. If you are feeling fearful, that's not from God. God doesn't put fear in our hearts. He tells us not to do it. Over and over, we see here with Joseph. Joseph, can you just kind of imagine, we talked last week some about Mary. Here she is, this young girl, this virgin that has been told, hey, by the way, you're going to have this baby and you got to go explain that to your fiance and you got to explain that to your family and the church and all this stuff. The angel begins with her. Don't be afraid with Joseph. Now here's Joseph. Now, all right, guys, you're engaged to this little 13-year-old girl and you're anticipating, the marriage and, her faithfulness. And she comes and says, I'm pregnant. Let that soak in a second. I'm pregnant. And then she says, oh, but by the way, it's God's baby. You think Joseph was kind of going, So he tells Joseph, the angel says, don't be afraid to Mary. We talked about it last week. Don't be afraid to the shepherds as the angels appeared to the shepherds. Don't be afraid to Zechariah, who had, was the father of John the Baptist and Elizabeth. Don't be afraid when Abram was given, directive from God to leave his country that he knew and to go to this new place that he would show him. He said, don't be afraid. When Jesus was resurrected, he met the women. The angel said, don't be afraid. Jesus also said to the resurrected women, to the women who viewed the resurrection, don't be afraid. I think God's trying to tell us something, you think? You know, it is so easy, for fear in these times to take over. Yes? It is so easy to, and I want to go back to the point I'm making here. Fear is not from God. If you're feeling fearful, you need to pray against that. You need to ask the Lord to take that from you because it's not from Him. I say this a lot also. I mean, if you're feeling condemned, if you're feeling condemnation or if you're depressed, any of those kinds, those things are not from God. That's the first thing that needs to go off in your head. That's not from God. I need to pray against that. Fear is not from God. Here's the ugly part of fear. Fear often determines our behavior. Is this on? Fear dictates a response from us many times, especially when we don't take, God's word says to take those things captive. And when we surrender to fear, it many times determines our behavior, how we're going to react. And I've said this several times the last several weeks that church, man, this is our time to shine. It really is. And if we're walking around in this state of fear and letting it, and I'm not talking about, being safe and cautious. Okay. I'm not saying throw caution to the wind. Like, hey, if they tell you to wear a mask, you should just ignore that. And if they tell you to wash your hands, you should ignore. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying just letting this, when we let this, fear well up in us where we are fearful of what's to happen. One of the things, I want you guys to really to bear down with me and pray for Billy and Carlene is this is a hard day for them. It's a hard day for them. But here's, and Billy alluded to this in his prayer time as he was sharing about his mom. When you're in the Lord, it's just different. These times are different. Death, where's your victory? Billy said. And there's part of the fruit of the Spirit is peace that we've lit a candle today to celebrate and remember peace and peace in the midst of coronavirus, in the midst of taking people off the ventilator and knowing that the time is short on this earth. There's this this fruit that comes from being in the Lord, from being having the Spirit of God dwelling in us, that just makes these situations different. We shouldn't be afraid. Doesn't mean we shouldn't take precautions, but we shouldn't be afraid of the future. And I tell you, I'm kind of you're allowed to listen right now, but I'm kind of preaching to myself a little bit in regards, not so much about the coronavirus as much as just the state of our nation. I mean, man, if I'm not careful, I can become anxious about the state of our nation, because we're a mess. We're a mess. And I have to remind myself that that's, fear is not from God, and it can't determine my behavior, how I respond to these things. Secondly, we overcome fear by replacing fear with faith. Joseph, he's here's the scene. I mean, he's got, Mary comes to him and goes, "Hey, I'm pregnant." And Joseph knew that they had not been together sexually. They had not been together. So like, "You're pregnant. That's not good news." I mean, that had to be his first reaction. And how am I going to tell my parents what's going on here? And so he's in a similar situation here. And here's, just like Mary said last week, we talked about it in out of Luke, Mary said, "May it be to me as you said." She surrendered to the will of the Father. Listen to this. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. That's called faith. That's called faith. The angel said, "Hey, don't worry. I know this looks bad, but what's conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And you're to take her as your wife. You're set your fear aside and take her as your wife, just like you planned, because I'm telling you, it's okay." He did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Faith, do you think he knew for absolutely positive fact that everything was going to work out just fine? Faith is not a sure thing. Hello, I want to repeat that. Faith is not a sure thing. Faith is trusting the one who has told you something's going to happen. And I don't know about you, the Lord has never lied to me. The Lord has never lied to me. And I've told this story, and I won't belabor all of the points, but as Cheryl and I were transitioning into ministry, it was a scary time. Scary time. But we both knew, because we had sought the Lord, and we both knew that the Lord was saying, "Do it. This is what I want you to do. I know it looks really uncertain, and I know you're fearful right now, but just do it. I'm telling you, it's going to be okay." And it was okay. It was some scary, uncertain times. And I think that's kind of that pocket, that window that we're in right now. There's some uncertain times, but I'm just telling you, God is faithful. God is faithful. Faith is not a sure thing. Faith requires an act of our will, where we have to trust the one who's telling us something, the one who has given us this life, who has given us hope and a future. We have to trust him. I've told this story before, but it's kind of my favorite story when I think about the transition from fear to faith. And it's like when my girls, I'm seeing it play out beyond that. When my girls were little and they were exploring the diving board at the pool, And I remember they would get up there on the end of the diving board, and it's like all they saw was this deep pool that they knew was over their head, and the uncertainty about their future if they jumped off that board into that pool. And so after a few minutes of that, I remember swimming out to the edge of the pool, and I remember saying, "Jump. Daddy's got you. It's okay." And that assurance allowed them to jump off. And what also is amazing is and we go back and look at home videos of those moments, that the joy and the fun they were missing when they were fearful of taking that plunge. And when they finally trusted their father, earthly father in this case, to jump, suddenly he's like, I want to do that again. That was fun. It's like, it wasn't bad. And now I'm seeing that play out with our grandkids. You know, coaxing them to jump off the side of the pool and things like that. Replacing fear with faith. And faith means we're trusting something, someone. I don't know about you. I trust the Lord. I trust Him with all my heart. Thirdly, we overcome fear by focusing on eternal things. Focusing on eternal things. Now listen, you know, so there's the scene, you know, Joseph and Mary have been told, you know, Mary's going to have a baby. They know that this, I mean, Joseph is thinking, hey, this, you know, she's been unfaithful. And then the angel says, no, it's the Lord's child. And he does as the Lord commands. And here's, the angel's beginning to wrap this all up and give him the perspective, this eternal perspective in verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. There's something eternal going on here is what's happening. And it's what he's being told. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. And that's, by the way, this quote is from Isaiah 7:14. The virgin will be with child hundreds of years before Jesus was born, I might add. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so the eternal perspective is God's doing something here. I know you're afraid. I know that you're uncertain. I know that this has kind of rattled your cage a little bit here, and things are not going as you had planned. But in faith, trust me, something bigger is going on here. I'm doing something really important, something big and it's significant. You can trust me. Now, we may not be Mary and we may not be Joseph, but you think God doesn't want to use you? Maybe we're not going to have any virgin births in the next year. But he has something he wants to accomplish in your life. And fear will hold us back. And perhaps it's through this virus just encouraging people that have surrendered to fear. Just being that solid rock. And it's like, speaking of rock, it's like when we trust God, when we keep our eye on the eternal things, it's like God's dropping this rock in a pond and the ripples just, it affects so many things, so many people. Paul says it this way in Philippians 3. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So he's setting all this stuff aside, stuff in the past, stuff that's going on, and he's fixing his eye on the prize, this eternal prize. Church, don't be afraid. Just don't be afraid. It's okay. Be cautious. Be smart. Be diligent. But don't be afraid. We overcome fear by realizing that it's not from God, by replacing that fear with faith, and by keeping our eye on eternal things. Listen to that. I want to wrap up with these two passages. These kind of sum up the whole message here. Psalms 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? If we understand that the Lord is our salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In John 14, Jesus says it this way. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I don't give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Church, that's the words from Jesus to us today. You know, the world's peace is packaged when everything is right. That's when we have the world's peace. And Jesus is saying, that's not what I'm talking about. So the world's peace says everybody's healthy. Everybody likes one another. We're all happy. We got plenty of money, plenty of food, plenty of friends. That's the world's peace. Well, that's easy to have peace in those circumstances. Jesus says, I don't give you that kind of peace. I give you some other kind of peace. Peace that is founded in me. My peace. He says, my peace I give. As we come into this time, man, we're gonna take the Lord's Supper here, communion. I had to get creative in these times. We've tried different methods and so forth, but I ran across these little portable cups. Now, you may have tried some that we had a couple of months ago with the styrofoam disc in it, you know. I've still got part of that in the roof of my mouth from 2 months ago. I'm sorry. But these are better. These are better. It has a little cracker down in the bottom, and also you don't need a chainsaw to open the lid either. Okay? Everybody, if you like that, just say, yee-haw! All right, good. Can you say yee-haw in church? I'm not sure that's in the Bible. Well, we're going to try these cups. So let me kind of give you some instructions. You'll come through the lines like you always do, and there'll be four stations. You'll come through and you'll receive one of these cups, and the bottom of it, start with the bottom. Some of you Aggies, you don't want to turn the juice up and do that. I'm sorry, that was bad. Start with the cracker, open it up, partake of that, and then flip it over and open up the juice and partake of that, and there'll be a basket that you can discard the leftover here. And you will, each one of you will receive that as you come through the line. And we've had these available for you at home. If you didn't get one for this month, they'll be available for you for next month as well. You know, man, just in the midst of all this, I those words from Jesus just really come, they sing loud and clear to me this morning. My peace I leave with you. His peace. Founded in Him, who He is, and what He has done for us. And, man, and He gave us this meal as a reminder. He gave us this meal, and He said, partake of this meal and remember what I've done for you. And different people and different denominations, they have different ways of understanding this meal. But let me tell you how I understand it. I believe that in a supernatural, spiritual way, God is present with us as we partake of this bread and this juice. There is a supernatural participation. It's not just something we do. It's why it's to be done in a sacred way. They call it a sacrament. It's sacred. It's not something to be done haphazardly. So to just know that, you know, in the Protestant denominations, the sacraments are Holy Communion and baptism. And we believe that those are sacred moments where God participates with us in these moments. And so what's required is you come to this table. You don't have to be a member of our church. You don't have to be a member of any church. You can be a visitor here with us, but you need to have repented of your sin and accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior to That's what Scripture tells us, that we, this is for the body of Christ. It's not for perfect people, it's for redeemed people. So, but it's for the body of Christ. If you're still searching in your faith, I would encourage you not to partake until you've kind of made that decision to follow Christ. But if you have made that decision and there's some sin in your life, man, what a great place to drop that. What a great place to start over at this table. So let's begin with a personal prayer of confession. So if you in your own heart, if you will just ask the Lord to forgive you of any sin that you may have in your life. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, church, you are forgiven. Amen. I ask those who are serving, the praise team, and assisting me will come forward, please, and the sound team as well. Christ our Lord has invited us to his table. As I said earlier, if you repent of your sin, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you're welcome to come to this table. There are four stations, and I've told you how you will be served. Splendor of a king, all the majesty, and triple your joy. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. I want to remind you that you have a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He loves you. I also would like to, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I confess it. I repent of my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time today, I want to invite you to do four things. First of all, to share that decision you've made with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And then secondly, I invite you to be baptized. Jesus himself commanded us that we should celebrate our faith through baptism. And then I invite you to get into God's Word. A book of John is a great place to start. And not because somehow reading the Bible makes us a good person, but because there's life in God's Word. It's His inspired, holy Word. And then finally, I invite you to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church to be a part of. If you have any questions at all, I just want you to know that I'm available. You can contact me at my email, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.